Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, December 12th, 2013. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Western Governors Association unveils major wildlife mapping project. Concerned citizens speak up against Bakken crude oil train increases at Washington panel hearing in Spokane Valley. And study shows Idaho's nonviolent offenders spend twice the national average time behind bars. And the study suggests Idaho should spend more time tracking parolees and probationers in order to fix the problem. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Meeting in Reno today, the Western Governors Association unveiled the Crucial Habitat Assessment Tool, which uses overlaid maps to show where the most important wildlife habitat is in 16 western states from Oklahoma to Alaska. In addition to habitat, the maps also show wetlands and natural resources in 1 square mile resolution and rates each section on a scale of 1 to 6. Western Governors Association policy manager Carly Brown said the governors began the mapping project in 2008. Brown said the governor's intent back in 2008 really was to cater to industries within their states who need data while at the same time conserving the resources the states are blessed with and the governors are charged with preserving. The maps are expected to help those planning highways, power lines, pipelines, and wind farms to minimize conflicts with important habitat. Center for Biological Diversity senior scientist Rob Morocca praised the Crucial Habitat Assessment Tool maps, saying it provides a common footing for the public and a wide array of stakeholders who are interested in land use. It integrates the various mapping systems and databases across state boundaries. To me, that is the quantum leap forward. 6 states have already compiled their data, and 2 more states will unveil their data packages later this month. Idaho, Alaska, Arizona, Colorado, Oklahoma, Utah, Nebraska, and South Dakota are still compiling their data for the mapping project. Most of the 75 people who showed up for a Washington Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council public hearing on plans to build Bakken crude oil terminals and refineries yesterday in Spokane Valley were against the plan because of the increased risk of environmental damage to inland waterways. The oil industry has plans for up to 7 terminals and refineries in western Washington, all taking crude oil shipped by rail from North Dakota's Bakken oil fields. The hearing officially addressed plans for the largest of the proposed terminals, a Tesoro Savage facility at Vancouver that could receive up to 360,000 barrels per day. Some of those who spoke addressed climate change caused by the burning of fossil fuels in the atmosphere. Pauline Druffel, who can see the Latah Creek Rail Bridge from her Spokane home, told the panel, "It's insane that we keep taking this stuff out of the ground and putting it into the atmosphere." Spokane City Council members have also expressed concern about delays to emergency vehicles at grade crossings in the area. If all the terminals and refineries are built, there would likely be 4 oil trains per day of about 120 cars traveling through Spokane. Currently, about 1 train with Bakken crude travels through the city per day. Department of Ecology Spill Program Manager Dale Jensen told the Spokesman Review there's a need to beef up oil response units in eastern and central Washington. Jensen said railroads will say they've been moving oil forever, but this is the first time they've moved unit trains of oil through the state. We're encouraging the oil companies, because it's their product being carried, to use their influence to help railroads improve their standards. Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway Corporation Hazardous Materials Emergency Response Head Patrick Brady told the council, out of 1.4 million hazardous material shipments through the region last year, there were four derailments releasing hazardous waste from 15 shipments. Also at last night's meeting, a company spokesperson said BNSF has not had any fatal accidents involving hazardous materials on its northern routes since the early 1980s. The U.S. Department of Energy yesterday announced the final cleanup plan for the 40-square-mile portion of the Hanford Nuclear Reservation called Area 300. The cleanup of the area is expected to be completed by 2015. The plan calls for inserting a binding solution into the ground, which would combine with the groundwater in the soil, preventing radioactive uranium in a plume from running into the Columbia River. The plan also calls for removing contaminated soil and waste sites, disposing of them in a Hanford landfill. With a potential of 330 pounds of uranium per year leaking into the Columbia out of Hanford, watchdog group Hanford Challenge director Tom Carpenter said the uranium should be removed from the soil instead of trying to create a binding to keep it from leaking into the Columbia while still remaining in the soil. Carpenter said, with a half-life for uranium-238 at over 4 billion years, this hardly seems wise or desirable to abandon this waste next to the second most powerful river in the nation. The plan also calls for converting a section of Area 300 for industrial use and conservation purposes. Council of State Government researchers working with the Pew Charitable Trusts have found Idaho has one of the fastest growing incarceration rates in the nation, even though it has one of the lowest crime rates. The study shows much of that is caused by a high rate of recidivism, and that contributes to the fact that nonviolent offenders in Idaho serve twice as long in prison as the national average. The report, presented to an interim joint legislative committee today in Boise, says 41% of the state's prisoners are in for at least the second time, many of them for parole and probation violations. Idaho inmates spend an average of 4.1 years in prison for drug crimes compared to 2.2 years nationwide. Idaho inmates spend an average of 3.9 years in prison for nonviolent property crimes compared to 2.3 years nationwide. House Judiciary Committee Chair Rich Wills of Glens Ferry said, "It just doesn't even make sense that we would not want to go that direction if we possibly can. The lengthy prison stays for those nonviolent offenses are really costing us a lot of money." Wills urged interim committee members to support legislation being drafted for next year's legislative session that could fix the problem. Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Patty Ann Lodge of Caldwell said, "We are not getting soft on crime. I don't want anyone to leave here saying that we're going to be soft on crime by trying to improve the way we help people become responsible, accountable, tax-paying citizens." The groups doing the research suggest states adopt justice reinvestment projects. Democratic Representative Shirley Ringo of Moscow, who is a member of the interim committee, said, "I think it's something that we've needed to do for some time. When we see the situation that we have lower crime rates and more incarceration, I think that's upside down. Something has to be done." The prosecution rested its case in the murder trial of 22-year-old Daniel Lascano yesterday. Whitman County Prosecutor Dennis Tracy argued in court in Spokane, family and friends had said they saw Lascano with an AK-47 that he said was used to kill 23-year-old Marcus Scherr on December 27th, 2011, several weeks prior to the shooting. Tracy was making his argument connecting Lascano to the gun used to kill Scherr in Malden in northern Whitman County. Ben Evenson, who was a friend of Daniel and Frank Lascano at the time, told jurors the brothers told him Scherr had been shot with the AK-47. Frank Lascano is already serving time for first-degree murder in the case. Tracy's final witness, Police Sergeant Keith Cooper, created a problem for the prosecution when he said investigators found no spent shell casings at the scene. Defense attorney Eric Christensen told jurors Daniel Lascano did not kill Scherr, and it was a pistol, not a rifle, which was used, and that Daniel Lascano was not at the crime scene. Christensen said tall grass and other discarded items in the alleyway in Malden made it almost impossible to find the spent casings, even with metal detectors. Cooper reluctantly agreed, saying it would be difficult to find the casings among the large amount of miscellaneous metal found at the shooting scene. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather for the Pullman, Moscow area, 80% chance of snow mainly after 10 p.m., low 26. Total nighttime snow accumulation less than 1 inch possible. Tomorrow, a 50% chance of snow and freezing drizzle, cloudy otherwise, high 32. Less than half an inch of new snow possible. 20% chance of snow and freezing drizzle before 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Then a slight chance of rain and snow after 4 a.m. Mostly cloudy, low 28. 20% chance of rain and snow before 10 a.m. Saturday. Mostly cloudy, high 37. Mostly cloudy Saturday night, low 30. And partly sunny on Sunday and Monday, high around 40. Currently, we've got partly cloudy skies, 33 degrees in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next is Talk Nation Radio at 6 o'clock after a story from Planet Nancy. And then at 6:30, we have Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. Music with DJ Motormouth, Shy DJ, 7:30. Jazz with Alan Solon at 8:30, rather. And at 10 o'clock, heavy music with Confinement Loaf in the studios tonight. All here, music, entertainment, information through the evening here at KRFP Moscow 90.3. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, you can become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis, Jim Roach, assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow 90.3.